Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama.
All right, welcome back to the show, Smooth Drama. At least, I think that's the name of the show. Anyway, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word and Miss Brown Sugar. Tonight, we got a special treat for you. We've got Mr. Eric Scheuer from the Mystery Box Show. And we know y'all probably want to come in and talk to him, so you can give us a call at 347-826-7435. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you're afraid to call, you can always email your questions, comments, concerns to smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Once again, questions, comments, concerns, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. If you're listening live, you can jump into the chat room, either on the Blog Talk chat room, or you can go to the Smooth Drama page. There's a chat room there. We take questions, comments, and concerns there also. And if you're on Facebook, you can ask to jump into the Smooth Drama group. Myself or Shiny Mustache, Mr. J, will add you. Once again, myself or Shiny Mustache, Mr. J, will add you to the Smooth Drama group, and pretty much anywhere Smooth Drama is on the social network, add us, we'll add you back, and we can talk a taste about pretty much anything you want to talk about. And on that note, without further ado, first I'll say, hey Brown Sugar, how you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good. And we, of course, have the man of the hour, Mr. Scheuer, how you doing, sir?
Hello, hello. I'm doing great. How are you, Smooth?
I'm good.
Thanks for having us on the show.
Oh, thank you for coming on the show. I mean, I saw your show, and it's interesting watching the videos. It's crazy. But before I start reminiscing what I watched, tell us about the Mystery Box Show and why you started it.
Absolutely. I'm happy to tell you about the show. Then I want to hear about what you watched. The Mystery Box Show. We are a storytelling show up here in Portland, Oregon, where people get on stage and they tell true stories from their lives all about sex and sexuality. Storytelling has been a thing that's becoming more and more popular over the past decade or so, people doing personal narratives on stage. And really, my wife, we run the show together. And what happened about 7 years ago, we were just going to all these storytelling shows in Portland and found that the stories that were most interesting to us were the ones that were about sex. So we thought, wouldn't it be great to go see a show that was only about sex? And silly us, we thought one must already exist. After all, it's Portland, you know what I mean? But it didn't, so we started it ourselves. We just got some friends together.
Wait.
What's up?
Hold on. You said Portland, know what I mean? I mean, are they doing it like that in Portland?
Well, I guess we have a reputation for say that again?
Am I missing something? I mean, I've been to Portland, and so I'm missing out on the sex capital of the West Coast?
I don't know. I think, actually, you're pretty close to San Francisco there. I mean, that's pretty much the sex capital as far as I know. But Portland's always been off the beaten path, doing things a little bit weird. So it just seemed like if anybody was going to have a place where people get up on stage and tell really vulnerable, intimate stories, Portland would be it.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can agree with that. Portland is kind of, you know, off the beaten path.
Yeah, you know, we like to say we keep Portland weird. That's been our thing for a while, even though Austin, Texas tries to claim that as its own. We have all kinds of weird stuff up here. We got the Church of Elvis. We have a guy who rides a unicycle wearing a Darth Vader mask playing the bagpipes with flames shooting out of it. So pretty weird.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. That's interesting.
So, I mean, so you started it. I mean, do you have people who you seek out and I know you have the coaching and all that, or is there like open mic where people can just come up and tell their stories? How does that go?
Yeah, no, the coaching is pretty much what we do. We reach out to people and we have people coming to us to say that they have a story to share. But the biggest thing is, like you said, Reba and I, we work together and we coach the stories. So we basically hear what they have to say and then we offer suggestions for story beats, where to build up the emotions and things like that. And we work with the storytellers two or three times through their stories to make sure that it's going to be good on stage. Like you were saying, it's not so much an open mic situation. I feel like if it were, then it would just be getting people getting up on stage and kind of bragging. You know, which could be fun for a couple of minutes, but not for a whole 2 hours. People go like, guess how many people I had sex with last night? Well, good for you.
Yeah.
What does it mean to me?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Now,
you said you'd seen some of our videos online.
Yeah, I watched a video about a young man who's pretending like he had a girlfriend when it was a boyfriend. I saw
yes.
a video where a woman was talking about her breaking her virgin, the threesome. And I won't say I'm shocked by any of that. I mean, because, you know, people do what they do. I just found it interesting that, as you said, people can be vulnerable on stage and tell their intimate details like that in front of a crowd of people. And not
absolutely.
I said not come off as nervous. I mean, because I saw him and, I don't think people understand that when you're speaking live in front of people, there's no tape recorder. Oh, wait, stop, tape, let's go back. You kind of have to go in there. You stumble and you got to keep going. It's one of those things that it takes great courage. And, you know, I admire that, actually. I think
absolutely.
It's fascinating.
Some people we've had have been on stage before, so they're a little more used to it. But we have a lot of people who don't have any experience on stage, and they're always worried that they're going to be nervous or they're going to forget part of their story. Which doesn't tend to happen. I mean, since the stories are all true, you know,
right.
you know your life, you know what happened. But as far as being nervous, that happens all the time. And I think one of the blessings we have is that our audience has really become a community that is so supportive of the storytellers on stage. You can almost feel it when the storytellers are on stage. The audience is there wanting them to succeed. And that energy that, mm-hmm. you know, that carries them through if they're a little bit nervous or can't remember something that they were going to say. You can hear the audience saying, you know, like, go on, you've got this, slow down, you know, pause, whatever you need, we're here for you.
Yeah, because some of the videos that I've seen, it seemed like almost improv. I mean, it seemed like it was pretty well rehearsed and, you know, that they were actual storytellers. Like, they went around different places actually telling that story. I would never have guessed that it was, you know, their first time even talking about it.
I'll take that as a compliment. Like I said, we work with the storytellers pretty closely to prepare them. A lot
mm-hmm.
of it comes from Reba's background working with people on stage. So she's able to not only bring out the emotions, but help people feel comfortable and give them a couple of tips and techniques to not stumble as much as they might otherwise. But the fact that it comes off as like you said, improv, that's kind of our aim. Yeah. It's not necessarily improv, but we want it to be a conversation type of thing. Like you're talking to somebody across the table at a dinner party, not a performed monologue.
Yeah, I didn't take it as a performance, but yeah, that it was kind of just relaxed. It was like a conversation.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah. That's exactly what we want.
So do you feel like you get a lot of people that want to perform, or do you have to like search for people sometimes? I mean, are you like inundated? Like, yo, I got this story and I got to get it out. I mean,
I think it's about half and half. Sometimes it's like pulling teeth to find people to share stories on stage, because it's not the most natural thing in the world, like you said, to get up there and talk to an audience. And then you throw in the whole topic of sex on top of it. That just makes it even more nerving, anxious. Mm-hmm. But we do have other people that see the show and they're like, oh, those stories, that's nothing. Let me get up there. And so we have those people coming to us too, just, you know, begging to say, let me tell my story. It'll blow your mind.
Probably not.
Yeah, but we do seek out people here and there. You know, there's people, just by virtue of what we do, we've met a lot of people in the sex industry, at sex workers, that tend to have a lot of stories that, things they've learned and emotional trials they've gone through. So we've reached out to them. So yeah, I'd say it's about half and half. People come to us and us finding people on our own.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
the video that inspired me to get in contact with you was with King Noir, and he's very famous for his adult entertainment. So that's why I wasn't quite sure if you guys were adult entertainment or was it just regular people. So that was kind of like interesting to me, that you have a wide variety of people.
King was terrific to work with. That was actually for a special show that we did for a touring convention called Exotica. They do more adult-oriented conventions in different cities all throughout the year. So when they invited us to do a little mini show, we saw who was going to be there. And King, I mean, you know, not only does he do his adult performing, but he, you know, he does hip hop, he does spoken word, he's a teacher along with his partner. So when we invited him, he was like, that sounds amazing. And so he put such hard work into his story, so he was great to work with.
So and I was going to ask you, have you had some stories where you're like, yeah, this, we shouldn't have did this? And were there ever any surprises where you thought, you know what, it sounds like it's going to suck, but then they surprised you and were awesome?
Wow, two questions that are that make me think of all different kinds of stories. So we've been doing the show about 7 years now, and maybe only in the first year did we learn some hard lessons about coaching the stories a little better. So we may have had one or two that got on stage and we thought, oh no, that should not be on stage. But what are you going to do at that point?
Right.
I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but I'll say that there was some where there was some excessive drug use and that got into some pretty dicey territory that was more turned into a horror story than an actual emotional, vulnerable story.
Yeah.
But as far as anybody we thought were going to suck and then it didn't, and then it turned out great, I would say we never put anybody on stage that we think are going to suck. Like we wouldn't do that to somebody. But
well,
I will say that we have had stories that we've been nervous about, that they could potentially be offensive if they're not told in just the right way, if that makes sense. So, you know, especially talking about things that get into areas of either homophobia or transphobia, that could easily be taken the wrong way if the storyteller tries to be funny about it rather than revealing. But almost every time that we're nervous in that way, the person gets on stage and knocks it out of the park and comes across exactly as we'd hoped. And it's we're amazed every time.
But and I think the word suck, I just meant, like you were saying, you were nervous about it. You didn't know how it would go, and then they knock it out of the park. I mean, I've had guests who they're going to be awesome. And then you get them on the air, and it's like, yeah, this was a bad idea. And then other guests, you were like, but then they're awesome. You're like, I've nothing but kind words about you. Knocked it out the park. So, speaking of that, you were talking about traveling. So, are you guys exclusively Portland? Do you ever do a traveling show?
We are exclusively Portland. We, in our early years, we did two small shows in San Francisco 2 years in a row for a little convention that was going on there. But we found that sticking to Portland is, it works out best for everything we do. We work with the storytellers so closely that it can be difficult to do it in a different city.
Gotcha. So, as a weekly venture, you feel like you're growing. I mean, you feel like it's something that you can franchise.
It's interesting. We've had people ask about that, and I think it still feels very, very personal to us. So, you know, it's almost like a brand. You said from the stories you've seen, we coach them to be very vulnerable and emotional and revealing. I know there are other similar shows out there that take a little bit more, I would think a little more of a of an exploitative perspective. I could be saying that wrong. I feel like I don't want to denigrate anybody else.
No.
We have our brand, as dirty as that sounds to say.
No, because like you said, there's an approach that you can take to things, right? So you have people, and like you say, you coach them, but you want them to throw out their authentic stories as opposed to, hey, I need you to do this because it's going to make us look good and it'll be more entertaining to the crowd. I think that's exploitive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But at the same time, I just want to walk back that these other shows I'm thinking of, they don't do that. They also have very authentic people. But it's a different style. So,
mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, if we were to franchise, we'd have to show somebody else exactly what we do and then trust that that they would do it the same way in other cities. It's been something that we've thought about and then considered not doing.
Well,
I don't know.
I was going to say, like, if you you ever think about, like, live streaming it, you know, for an audience, like, you know, maybe like it's a TV show, like you had Def Comedy Jam, you can have the Mystery Box show, like it's something on TV.
That's something that's been proposed to us. I don't know about the technical details of setting up a live stream, because we also do have the issue of a lot of our people, like you said, you've seen the videos online. But those only come after the storytellers agree to put them online.
Right.
People say, no, I don't want my story out there. I don't even want people knowing that I've done the show. So I feel like having something live, like, opens a whole other potential of people hearing the story that people don't want them to hear. It's a very personal thing, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Where even though you're publicly talking about it, it's still a privacy issue.
Yeah, yeah.
If that makes sense.
A lot of people say, you know, for the 400 people in the room, that is fine, but I don't want anybody else to know about it.
Yeah.
And that's fair. You know,
yeah.
There's some people who are teachers, some people running for public office. They don't, as much as we're sex positive and believe that that these topics should be talked about,
mm-hmm.
you know, we understand that they shouldn't get in the way of your career, especially if in the climate that we're in the moment.
Right. Yeah, it seems funny because we've existed in the climate now where what you do outside of your job, even though it's not detrimental to your job, is detrimental to your job, especially if sex is involved. You know,
it's what I've heard. You know, sending a resume somewhere, what's the first thing they do? They do a Google search.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
that's
become how we do things. I don't know if you've done that, but I'll admit I do that. You know, I meet somebody, I get an email. First thing I do, what's their social media? Who is this person?
Yeah. Well, if you know, it's all about affiliation as well. You want to be affiliated with people who you know are somewhat, you know.
Well, there are some things that you want to. I mean, like you Google it, so I would look up your show and, you know, I would check you out just like I'm sure you checked us out. It's like you want to see what we're about. Are we negative? You know, there's a lot of things that go with it.
Yeah.
You don't want to be associated with people who spew hate and, as you would say, will be exploited as opposed
to and supported. Yeah, you know, we did check you out when you invited us. We're like, wow, that's flattering, but who are these people? So, yeah, that's it's just become naturally what you do.
All right. So do you feel like, because I know I asked you about expanding in the Portland area. I mean, you feel like maybe you get to a point where you get a bigger building, a bigger platform, not necessarily to be in more house, but just to house more people. I mean, do you feel like where you are, you're good?
Expanding has always been something that we've had our eye on. We started off in a 99-seat theater, and then we moved up to a place that held 250, and now we sell out at 400 every other month. So we have, you know, we always look to say, is there a way that we can continue to grow? But beyond moving towards larger numbers, there's other things that we're doing. We just started something last year that was Reba's Brainchild that has been absolutely fantastic. We do these dinner parties. So we have storytellers that have been on the show, and we invite them to our home and we sell tickets for, you know, for maybe 12 people to have a dinner party. Reba cooks the food, and we show these storytellers stories, the videos that we shot, and then the storytellers are there for everybody to talk about, to say, like, hey, what was it like being part of that experience, being part of the, you know, I should ask this. Can I, what's the language barrier on your show? Like, I don't want to get anybody in trouble by saying.
There is no language barrier. There is no language barrier.
Excellent. So, you know, so we can have people talk to the storytellers and say, what was it like to be part of a gangbang? Or what was it like to, you know, to have your first threesome, or find out that your partner was trans? Or any of this. And so, like you were saying, expanding, not only growing our audience into a new venue, but also finding new ways to continue the conversation of honest sex stories and storytelling, and just have people discuss with each other, learn from each other.
Mm-hmm. So you say every other month, you ever thought about being more frequent, or do you think that's not something that you want to do? Or
we found that every other month is pretty much what works for us, especially with the amount of time it takes to coach the storytellers.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, just
it also
that,
builds
like,
up really good anticipation for everybody who wants to come to the next show.
Yeah, so that's
sorry,
takes
I missed
a lot
something
of
you said there.
The time. Yeah, just getting the storytellers ready for the storytelling, that takes a lot of time and effort to do that.
It does. It usually takes about 3 months to get a full show prepared.
We usually
have about
that's
five storytellers at every show. So, you know, working with five people all at the same time to make sure their stories are good, plus building towards the next show. And we have other fun surprises that happen that don't necessarily show up in the videos that are pretty fun, too. So it's a lot of prep work.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah. And you're living life and you don't want to have to be married to that also. Even though you're married to
much.
It, but not take all of your personal time.
It is a
time.
Full-time job for both of us.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So this is what you do for a living?
It is, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So, well, I was going to say, I mean, we've talked about it. Won't you tell the people where they can find you if they wanted to look you guys up?
Happy to, yeah. If anybody is hearing this in the Portland area or planning to come to Portland, Oregon, we're at mysteryboxshow.com, M-Y-S-T-E-R-Y, boxshow.com. And we have our next show coming up on December 15th. That's a Sunday. We have our dinner party coming up on December 7th. I can tell you who's going to be at that. It's going to be a good friend of ours, AJ Summerlee, who told a story about what's called consensual non-consent. Are you familiar with that?
No, I don't know what
yeah,
that
I
is.
Think, yeah.
It's basically people who want to experience a non-consensual experience in a safe way. You know, so rape fantasies would be something that falls into that. And that's something that requires a lot of negotiation and trust. And so so our friend AJ told an amazing story about a date that they went on that they planned to basically be kidnapped and raped, all in a very consensual way, but in a way that gives you that thrill of not knowing what's going to happen next.
Mm.
So AJ is going to be at our dinner party on December 7th, and then our, like I said, December 15th is going to be our show. We have stories so far about early sex education. We have sexual healing. I'm blanking on who else is in the show right now.
Okay.
We got a pretty good kink story. But yeah, seek us out online, Mystery Box Show. We're on YouTube. We've got all our stories up there.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, consensual, non-consent. That never heard of that one. I mean, I've heard the rape fantasy and whatnot. But.
I would say look up the story. AJ Summerlee. It's spelled
okay.
A-J-E.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's a spectacular story, really. But don't watch it while you're eating a meal, I would say.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
You know, I'm a empty stomach that one. Hey, I want to thank you for coming on the show. It sounds amazing, and I know when I'm in the Portland area, I'm definitely going to hit you up because I'm definitely going to show up at your theater. It sounds amazing. Wow.
Please do. Thank you so much for asking us to be on. Yeah, if you're up in Portland, whether we have a show or not, get in touch. Let's sit down for dinner.
Oh, most definitely.
Well, that would be nice.
Yes. So, once again, thank you for coming on the show. I look forward to watching Mr. Summerlee's video on my empty stomach and checking you guys out. I've got you in my favorites now. And so I look forward to checking out some of this interesting stuff. And maybe one day I'll get on stage.
We would love that.
Yeah. And
well, thank you again. You've been so kind, and you've been great to talk to. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night. Hopefully we'll get the chance to do this again.
Would love to.
All right. Well, thank you, and you have a good night.
You too, sir.
All right. All right. So that, ladies and gentlemen, was the Mystery Box Show. Mr. Eric Scheuer. Y'all should check it out. It's some interesting stuff on there. And obviously, like you said, the people are vulnerable and they're very courageous to even be up there telling their true stories. I don't know. I said I could do it, but I don't know. It sounds easy to say, and even though I'm a talk show host, I talk live all the time. I don't know. You're under the bright lights in front of people. I'm afraid I might be like Robin Williams on his last comedy show, just sweating 300 bottles of water on the stage, looking crazy.
Well, that was a whole other thing he was going through, too, so.
Yeah.
Which is not your issue.
Yeah, I stay away from the cocaine, but yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, that's not your issue, so.
All right. Well, yeah. You know, we're going to go on break. We're gonna throw out, I think it was a true life story, and a long overdue shout out to my man, may he rest in peace, Bushwick motherfucking Bill. The other level.
Wash up and take a bath because I'm kind of dirty. such a pussy. One said,
I can't believe I'm bringing plumbers.
The other said,
don't worry about it. Ain't nobody gonna bite you. Cause I don't have one either.
This shit was getting dope. I had to take a breather. Step into the water and it's showtime. I'm a nigga. So I got to go for mine. But the key to have patience. But with two of the finest girls in the world, wouldn't be anxious. But I kept my cool, grinning like the devil. No one about to put these bitches on that other level. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just your typical horny little devil. I make them both suck on my chest like Mr. Slick. Then I took one's head and pushed it down to the dick. Now I got one on the dick, one on the nipple, squeezing on the asses. This shit is so simple. Then another smooth move real quick. I push the other bitch's head down to the dick. Now they're sucking on my dick like a lollipop. In and out of each other's mouth, but when they ever stop, sucking on my pole. And while they're sucking on my pole, I'm running my fingers through their pussy holes. Then back up to the chest again. Yes, everything is cool, cause I'm the best, my friend. Now they're licking on my chest, my nipples rather. Then I gently push both of their heads together. Now they're kissing one another. Ooh. 50 minutes later, they were eating each other. I got these bitches so much into themselves, they forgot about me. And I'm sitting here, but motherfucking naked, G. But as the time went by, yo, you know a nigga like me had to get down for mine. And I should've won a fucking medal for taking both of these bitches to the other level. Push Rick Bill, the other level, part one. Listen and learn, and you'll be alright. Ghetto Boys out of here, 1991, year 2000 and forever.
Together you got smooth drummer, smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word and Miss Brown Sugar. That was Ghetto Boys, Bushwick, motherfucking Bill, the other level of the game, RIP. All right. So, we've been talking, but not talking, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to myself, maybe. I don't know. You know, you talk about having split personality and whatnot, but you don't have a split personality. Is there such a thing?
Maybe bipolar.
Crazy, delusional.
Schizophrenia? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Okay.
That's not me. I just wanted to say that because it just sounded good at that particular point.
But talking to yourself?
Yeah.
Are you saying that you have a split or you don't have a split personality?
I actually don't.
Okay, but you do talk to yourself.
Sometimes, yeah.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
I'm glad you're comfortable with that.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's a better listener of you than you, right? Nobody can hear you better than you can hear yourself.
So long as you don't
No one is going to pay attention, you know? And sometimes even that helps.
All right, well, yeah, now that we done got that out the way, we can go ahead on and jump into our hater of the week.
Hate, I hate you.
All right, so I don't know if you heard about Congresswoman Katie Hill.
I have not.
Yeah, well, she's in the middle of a smear campaign where they're leaking nude photos of her and her affair. So what makes it a hater incident is that it's her husband is leaking it. So she she's going through a divorce, right? And what they're doing, there's a website that's, it's a Republican right-wing website. I ain't going to say the name because, you know, they don't need no fame. But they're posting the pictures of her because she allegedly had an affair with her her legislative director, Graham Kelly, as well as a sexual relationship with a female campaign staffer and her husband, who she, of course, is divorcing. And so, you know, in the statement that she said, intimate photos of me and another individual were published by Republican operatives on the internet without my consent. I have notified Capitol Hill police who are investigating the situation and potential legal violations of those who posted and distributed the photos, and therefore will have no further comment on digital materials. Now, the smear campaign includes her ex-husband, who's the divorce proceeding earlier this year. And so he is my hater of the week. It's like, you know, you were in a consensual relationship, right? If it doesn't work out, you just gotta, like, you know what, just let it go. But being the hater that he is, he couldn't just take the W. You was getting yours, and you was good. She not with you no more. You know, like, you know what? Mm-mm. I'm gonna put these pictures out there. I mean, as far as that double standard you always talk about, where you say where the woman looks bad, but the guy looks like a hero because he was a part of the three. And so,
yeah.
This is why he's the hater. Because he shares those pictures. It's like,
I agree he shouldn't have, but I don't know. I feel like, because it also reminds me of the husband who just sued his ex-wife's lover.
What?
For alienate, yeah. An ex-husband sued his ex-wife's lover.
Okay.
Because when, yeah, and he won. He got like a couple of million dollars.
Okay.
For alienation of affection, yeah.
Alienation of affection.
Yeah,
so,
because the wife stopped sleeping with her husband, and it was because she was sleeping with the new lover, so that caused their divorce.
You can sue and win for that.
You can sue for whatever you want to sue. It's a, you know, it's a matter of a lawyer taking your case.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you could sue for...
It's a rhetorical question.
You know, whatever.
Yeah, that's
I know that, but I'm just saying. Yeah.
It's very funny. You could sue and win. I mean, so I have my thoughts on that. I think, one, you shouldn't be able to sue for something like that. But we're in an age where Bill Clinton got impeached because he got his dick sucked. Where there's another dude that's committing treason every day. But impeachment is met, and I mean, he's talking about, I mean, he's reckless with his. He's just out front, like, I'm gonna shoot, I can shoot people and not go to jail.
It is unprecedented-like to have loose sexual morals. Well, to get found out that you have them.
Yeah. We wouldn't have any
precedent. To get found out that you have them. Because
okay.
All the presidents have.
Yeah, but
Bill,
I mean,
Clinton
we
isn't anything special, you know.
But we have presidents that had slaves. That's
really, why would you? Why? How? Okay, are you serious?
Right. I'm just saying. We talking about loose
morals. You know that doesn't count. You know that doesn't count.
I know in fantasy land, right? But in the real world, and I'm talking about a real world that really makes sense. That's a real moral
non-colonization. Since you don't like the word privilege, non-colonization.
Exactly.
Okay, that world doesn't exist though. The world exists on colonization.
Right. I mean,
so you can't even say. Yeah, well, that's what it's always been. I mean, before us and before those before us.
Right, but that's what I'm saying.
I mean,
so we have a husband who sues and wins on the lover because the wife stopped having sex with him.
Yeah.
Man, you know, that's a long line waiting to happen at the courthouse. That's a long ass line.
You know, and that just, you know, from what I believe, I think they had some money. So that's one. If you have the money for lawyers and to be tied up in court for that, you know, for however many weeks or days, then, yeah, but I mean, I don't think too many people, you know, are really that interested in doing that. I just found it fascinating because, like, he was really upset. He was really hurt. I mean, his feelings, like you were saying, like, I don't think the husband should have shared the pictures, but his feelings are valid. You can't say, oh, it didn't work out, move on. He felt for his wife. He had feelings. There, you know, that was real for him. So, no, he couldn't just move on.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Are you sure?
Because some people can't. Yes, I agree. I would never discredit anybody's feelings because they're not mine, so I can't say you shouldn't have them.
Okay, I'm not saying you shouldn't have them. I'm just
saying. Well, you can't say how people should react or how they should behave regarding their feelings.
Fair enough. But at the same time, I'm like, there are some things that don't belong in a public arena. I just... Maybe it's just me. I could be wrong, though.
Okay, I take it back. He won $750,000.
That's still $750,000 that I would have never thought of. It's like you're suing somebody for... You're suing the person that they cheated with.
Yeah, so husband sues boyfriend.
Okay. All right, that's a real interesting precedent. That's a real interesting precedent. I mean, so technically, like, if you're married to somebody, and let's say somebody that you were with ended up with an athlete, you could sue that athlete and win money because she left you for that athlete.
Yeah, if I can recall, I believe that was even I don't know on what TV show, but I believe that was on a TV show. I don't know if it was a Law and Order episode or some kind of court, but I remember because I, you know, it was like, wow, like who would think? I mean, people fall in and out of love, make up and break up every day.
Okay.
You know, it happens every day, B. So it's kind of like, really, somebody actually thought to sue.
Stop. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I'm going to sue her. I'm going to hurt him.
You know?
I'm going to hurt him.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
I'd rather for that to happen, to get sued, than for the lover to kill the other one. You know what I mean? For the husband to kill the lover to kill the husband, or the wife to kill somebody. I'd rather be in court than someone die. So,
if
that was the difference, so either I sue you or somebody dies, then yeah, let's go to court.
All right. Well, yeah.
You know, so,
yeah.
And that's what I'm saying, though. You don't know what was their breaking point, because everybody has one. So either he sent out those pictures and released all that, or he tried to kill somebody. or he shot up something.
Okay. Yeah, and on that note, we just going to go into our dumbass of the week. All right, dumbass of the week. Former number one pick and current NBA player DeAndre Ayton just got suspended for 25 games with no pay for violating the terms of the anti-drug program by testing positive for a diuretic. You wonder. You know he had to have been doing something serious, because at first I'm like, he's smoking that much weed? He's from the Bahamas, right? So I'm like, maybe he's smoking a lot of weed from the islands, but I don't think he would get 25 games for trying to mask weed. So,
no.
It was something else. And he's going to lose a lot of money, and that just means his name is going to come up with drug testing a little bit more frequently now. And all the people who sell drugs will be coming to see him for real now. Like, yo, well, we can hook you up while you suspended. Even though he won't have any money, because he'll be losing out on 25 checks. Well, when you're a millionaire, those 25 checks, be a lot of dough.
Yeah. I mean, any amount of money that's lost is a loss.
That's true. Yeah. I lose $5, I'm upset.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, you just think. Even with as high as gas is now, that was like, shoot, I needed that $5 cause to make 20. So I got $20, like, now I only got 50. That's not going to get me anywhere.
Yeah, 15. But 15 is like,
15 is not getting me anywhere.
3.5 gallons now.
Yeah. It's not going to help me at all. I need that $5.
Yeah. Well, speaking of not going far, you hear about your boy Kanye West. He's coming out with his new album, right? He's in service to Christ, and his job is to spread the gospel and to let people know that what Jesus has done for him. And so what he did was, during he was making the album, he asked people not to have premarital sex and, to fast while they were working on the new album, so they could feel closer to God. What you think about that?
If it was anybody asking me to do it, I probably would. Anybody but Kanye.
anybody but
that
so
was
so.
Me.
So
anybody
if R. Kelly
but Kanye, I would think about. No, R. Kelly can't ask me either. He can't ask me.
Kanye, I'm like, well, R. Kelly.
Well, to me, they're in the same boat. You know,
they're
a ship full of them, and they're like on that ship. It's a ship full of them, and it's just a foolery and nonsense. They're on that, and those are people that can't ask me to do nothing. You can't ask nothing, no black people, nothing. You can't ask us to do nothing for you. You can't ask me to do something that you can't do for yourself.
Well, he's trying to get closer to God, so he's like, you know what?
When he stopped selling his Jesus Walk socks for $150, then we can talk.
Okay, so we
but
negotiate.
But as long as he's selling and profiting off of it, then no.
Well, you tell him he can sell them for $75.
No.
Half.
I'm not saying they need to be free. I'm not saying they need to be free, but they need to at least be at market price with Target and Walmart. You know, I'm just not about to spend, triple, quadruple.
I mean, but
that song that just say Jesus walks on them. That's it.
I mean, I'm just thinking that you could just like spray paint that on your socks. Jesus walks.
You know, you could figure something out to do it yourself. You can figure it out.
I mean, bootleg.
I'm just, you know.
Yo, get some bootleg socks.
I'm a Warriors fan, and they have their socks for $15. Jesus walks can be $15.
You would buy $15 socks for one pair?
I wouldn't, but I feel like, no, but what I'm saying is, it's just no amount. I don't even know what he's multiplying his price, what he's basing it off of. $150 for a pair of socks?
Yeah. Because they have Jesus.
Yeah,
on.
I don't understand that. Didn't
we talk about this where they sold out the Jesus shoes last week?
Yeah.
With the walk on water Nike.
Well, Nike did that. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, all you need to do if you want to inflate the prices to an extra zero is add Jesus. What? Makes sense to
me? I don't agree. No, I don't agree.
Look, Jesus. This is a Jesus shirt. It's got like some of the dried up water that Jesus drank.
Dried up water.
Yeah, it's dried
so
water.
How do I know that water? So dried water is just like nothing. It's evaporated.
It came from the cup that he drank from.
So is there a watermark?
No, it's got some holy spit, and so you just put that on there. And you seal it in the patch, and boom, you got Jesus next to your heart.
So it's a little dry right there.
Right, $350.
Okay.
Get your Jesus shirts right here.
Okay. Yeah, no, I won't be studying that long.
All right, well, Groundhog Day.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
Yeah, y'all know. Atashiana Jefferson, you know, had her funeral today. Shot in her own house. Oh, I hate ending the show like this, but the pastor's words, same thing. You want to be safe in your own house. We keep having the same conversation over and over again. Being safe in our communities. Having these discussions about the police when you shouldn't have to. You know, I guess earlier was talking about being open and vulnerable on stage. I mean, but for us, the public stage that we're talking about, we're open and vulnerable. Nobody's hearing this stuff. Nobody's
no,
hearing. Yeah. We say, can our lives matter? And they say, well, everybody's lives matter. We're like, yeah. That's kind of the point. And on that note,
everybody but ours.
Right. And on that note, for Miss Brown Sugar, I am Mr. F the N-Word. Special shout out to the Mystery Box Show. This is another Smooth Drama production. And y'all know, we out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hair.
Where
in
the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth
drama.